Hello, we'd like to welcome you aboard the 20th episode of the Game Train podcast. I'm Callan Davison, and joining me as always is Carl the Lyrical Smith.
Hello, here I am.
Hello, Carl, there you are, back in Brisbane, and I'm back in Melbourne. Unfortunately, we can't do this one together like the special EB episode the other day, but it's all good. I won't laugh from looking at Carl the whole time.
That was romantic. I mean, interesting.
That's right. Anyway, this week we're looking at the newly released Shadow of War. We answer your questions and more. But first, the news.
All right, a new Destiny 2 PvP map has been added. The new map, Distant Shore, has been available since October 10, and it was timed with the start of Destiny 2's first Iron Banner. So that's all up and running right now. I haven't had a chance to jump in and check it out myself, but I can't wait.
That's yeah. Cool. More Destiny, man. More things
yeah,
to
more
do.
Still, they're drip feeding us.
It's a constant drip feed.
Yeah, I can't wait to have more news on Destiny for the next, like, 50 episodes.
Elder Scrolls Online, the Clockwork City DLC Game Pack, releases October 23 for PC and Mac, and a few weeks later for PS4 and Xbox One on November 7.
The PUBG breaks 2 million concurrent players on Steam, which means all at the same time. And I believe that is the most ever that Steam has ever had. And, like, I don't know where that... No one could have predicted this. Like, PUBG, which is Player Unknown Battleground, by the way, nobody saw this coming. This is like the ultimate underdog gaming story, and I'm loving it. I'm rooting for these guys. I cannot wait to jump in when it's released on Xbox.
You could say that's really exciting. Biggest games in the world at the moment.
I think you could. I really think I don't think they could have predicted that.
Yep.
But there you go.
Player Unknown Battlegrounds for the Xbox One has been given an MA 15 plus rating by the classification board, and also a new extended name. It is now called PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, The Ultimate Life and Death Fight. A release date for this on Xbox One is still, however, unknown.
Oh, nice word. Well done. Yeah, good work.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, also, we've got Nintendo-branded micro SDs are coming out on November 4th. They will come in two sizes, 64 gigs for $89.95 and 128 gigs for $169.95. A little bit pricey. I mean, they are custom. They got like little pictures and stuff like that on them with like Link.
It'll be great seeing the little picture of Link inside my Switch the whole time. And finally, Nicalis, the developer of The Binding of Isaac Rebirth, has announced a new game, Night Terrors,
yes,
which is a horror-themed platformer and will be out on the Nintendo Switch on October 24.
Oh my god, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about that. I'm literally so hyped for that. I love those guys.
Yep.
That platformer.
Yeah, yes. A new announcement. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh man. I'm going to tell my brother. He's going to be stoked. PlayStation Plus games currently. So for any PlayStation Plus members, this is free at the moment for October. We got Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. Ridiculous. Amnesia Collection, the two Amnesia games. Also ridiculously good. Monster Jam Battlegrounds for PS3, Hustle Kings for PS3, Hue for PS Vita and PS4, Skyforce Anniversary for PS Vita, PS4 and PS3. Now, anyone with games with gold for Xbox, you guys get these for free, which is Gone Home Console Edition, all of October, The Turing Test, that's starting on October 16 and then going on till November 15. Also, Oxenfree is still up there for like three more days till October 15th. I can't stress it enough, guys. Get this while it's there. It's free and it's awesome. For Xbox 360, also on Xbox One via backwards compatibility, we got Rayman 3 HD available also till the 15th. Get that if you want. And Medal of Honor Airborne, which is from the 16th to the 31st of October. Boom.
And that's the news. All right, now onto the games we have been playing. And as we spoke about last week, we're going to be looking at two SNES mini games per week, going in alphabetical order. So we had a chance to try out Contra 3 the other week when I was up in Brisbane with Carl, and we played some co-op of that. after we'd had a few beers that night.
I'm so glad we got to do it this way because, you know, we're rarely in the same place at the same time. And this game is known for its couch co-op. Like, this is kind of, was one of the kings of the same screen co-op back in the day.
Yeah, it was so hard as well, actually, because we played Cuphead that night as well in co-op, which was a little strange.
Yeah, that was fun, actually. It was.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. You know, we'll get to that in a bit, I guess, real quickly. But, yeah, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I actually really struggled with Contra, actually. Like,
Contra? You did struggle, actually.
Yeah, one hit and you're dead. I was like, what? No. And there's just bullets and missiles and things going left, right, and center. And, yeah, it's a tough, tough game.
Yeah, you can see, like, I mean, I played it back in the day with my friends and stuff, and I just, you know, it was so long ago that you just can't quite remember, like, did it really earn that reputation it has of being one of the hardest games ever? You know, people always talk about it, and playing it again recently just reminded me and made me aware of, like, yes, okay, this is why this game is the one that's compared to all those ones that have come after it, you know, like Metal Slug and that kind of thing. Similar theme, and of course Cuphead. It's like, oh right, this is the granddaddy of those side-scrolling shooter platforms. It was fun still, except that top-down one. You know the top-down level we did?
That was terrible.
I don't remember that, and that was unfun. Okay, so don't know what you were doing, Contra 3, but that idea, bad. Yes. Bad idea.
The other game, of course, was Donkey Kong Country that we played this week, which was always a barrel of fun. The original came out in 1994, and it set like a new way of like graphics on the Super NES back then. You know, I remember seeing the ads on TV being like, oh my gosh, what is that?
Yeah, and it's so funny. Did you talk to Cranky Kong at all while playing it?
No.
They knew that they were onto something cool because every time you visit Cranky Kong, the idea is he gives you hints of what to do. Like, oh yeah, by the way, don't jump on the bees unless you're riding a rhino. Cool, now get out of here, you little scallywag. But every time you walk in, he says like, oh, you and your new fandangled graphics. Back in my day, it was all about gameplay. We didn't have all these colors. Look at my beard moving while I rock on this chair. Waste of frames, I say. And he's pretty funny. And he says like, one of those bananas you collect has more, you know, more graphics in it than my entire game. You kids don't know anything. I really enjoyed it. It was really funny, like even today, because I'm looking at it going, I mean, this is nice, but man, we've come a long way since then. What would Cranky Kong say now, you know?
He wouldn't know what was happening now. It still plays great. Like, it's still smooth to play. The levels feel short, though, compared to, I guess, what we're used to now. Like, they're over sometimes in 60 seconds. And you're like, oh, that was a quick level.
And the bosses after playing Cuphead.
Oh, yeah, the bosses after Cuphead. The first boss, the little, like, mole guy, mole rat thing. And he just jumps around. And he just jumps on his head a couple of times and he dies. It's like, oh, so, cool.
You know what I found funny? The first three bosses all put together in Donkey Kong Country were easier than that first big random half boss you encounter on the very first level in Cuphead.
Yep.
You know, that guy that's throwing those seeds up in the air?
Yep.
The steamy. Yeah, like he killed me maybe three or four times and I'm yet to die on one of these bosses.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, no, it's a classic old game that.
Yeah, but still beautiful.
Yep.
Still, it's charming as ever.
Yep.
Funny, and yeah, I loved it. That game holds up really well. That's, yeah, I mean, we've only done two, but so far, that's one of the most enjoyable ones on the SNES Classic Mini Collection.
The other game we both checked out this week is out on Nintendo Switch now. It's called Golf Story. It's an indie game from Sidebar Games, who are actually Australian.
Yeah, and just two dudes, right?
Two guys?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, just what that game was a side swipe in itself. Like, it just came out of nowhere. And there is no way I would be keen to jump and play a golf game. I'm just not the sport guy, yet alone golf.
Yep.
But I just kept seeing these things everywhere and hearing about it. And people saying, this is so charming. Wow, it's, you know, even if you're not into golf, give it a go. Just you know, it's definitely worth checking out. I'm like, well, let's see what this is all about. And I just spent hours and hours on that game. Holy moly, it's fun.
It's like got that old sprite looking to it top down. The whole game is about golf. You're this kid that loves golf, playing golf. And you do like little quests involving golf. But it's so much fun. And it's got quite a bit of depth in terms of like the golf playing mechanics in the game.
Yeah, it is. It's deep golf mechanics, and they're very satisfying to pull off.
Like, you can switch through all your clubs. You can get new upgraded clubs, which change things. And then you can put curve on the balls.
Yep, and front spin, back spin.
Yep, front spin, back spin. There's wind involved.
Yeah, and even slope on the green.
Slope on the green, and obviously your fairway, rough, etc. But then there's different types of roughs as well.
Yeah, and they all react differently to different clubs. You can upgrade your clubs as you level up and get XP.
That's right. There's an XP system that you put into different stats. So you can put in more power or more precision.
Yeah, accuracy.
Or being able to spin the ball more. And then more power you put into your character, it drops your other stats. So you've got to keep leveling up the other stats as you be able to do bigger shots throughout the game.
And while you're doing that, you're finding like secret hideout buttons and daring people and like, you know, knocking people in the head with a golf ball. You can drop a tee, like drop a ball and tee off anywhere on the map. Just, you know, for fun. You can set your own little goals. You can go like, okay, I'm going to try and get this ball on this roof. And then you're doing things like making friends with turtles and finding them all and digging up treasures. And like, it's really fun.
It's great.
I was very pleasantly surprised.
If you've got a Switch, go check out this game. It's a heap of fun. It's on the store right now. Go check it out.
Golf Story.
All right, another game I checked out this week was Star Wars Battlefront 2. I had a beta for a few days. So I tried out a few of the modes quickly. There's like, your normal big multiplayer maps and all that. It looks so beautiful. Like, just looking at the leaves blowing around, that was like incredible. Like, there is so much detail going into this game, just like the original, which looked absolutely gorgeous. The battles are so much fun as well. I did one of those. Heaps of fun.
Oh, I'm so jealous I didn't get time to do that. That's awesome.
It was only available for a couple of days. So, it's finished now. But the full game releases on November 17. The other game I tried was the Gran Turismo Sport demo, which I think is also now finished. So you could jump in and pretty much start off your career in the game because your progress carries over into the full game.
What?
Yeah, yep. So I did the first, the first 10 training levels. And then I did a race or two as well and got my first car and all sorts of things like that. It looks absolutely gorgeous. It plays really well. I kind of wish I had a steering wheel to try the game with, which I don't.
Oh, man, that's so cool. Like, betas never carry over. That's so interesting.
Well, and they should. Because it's all single-player progress on this, it doesn't affect anyone. Like, if all your Star Wars Battlefront 2 stuff that you earned in the game carried over, you had that advantage over the other players. You're just giving yourself like that little head start.
Yeah, and it's selling it to yourself like, oh, I got to get that game now because I've done some cool stuff in it and I want to continue my story.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's a pretty cool game.
That is pretty clever.
I had fun with the little demo. As I said, it was only out for a couple of days and I didn't get to play too much of it. But yeah, I had enough to sort of get, you know, dip my feet in. But that comes out on PlayStation 4 on the 18th of October, so pretty much a week away.
Man, I wonder what Cranky Kong would have to say about those two games.
Cranky Kong probably lose his mind over it.
All right,
on to our shout-out of the week.
Yes.
All right, so this time we're going to give a special shout-out to a good friend of ours, Reef Aitken.
Hello, Reef. It's been a long time coming.
Leading question giver out there, if it was on a points basis.
That's true.
So he works for himself. He is a locksmith. The company is called Barry Locksmiths. He is based in Brisbane. So you lock your keys in your car. You want to get some locks changed on your doors.
So if your lock picking skill isn't as high as you wish it was, give Reef a call.
www.barrierlocksmiths.com.au. Now onto our feature game, Shadow of War.
The war for Mordor begins.
Middle-earth Shadow of War is a follow-up to the 2014 hit game Shadow of Mordor. It is developed by Monolith Productions and published by Warner Bros. Studios. In it, you play the human Talion, who has been killed, but then brought back to life, and his spirit kind of fused with this elf spirit. Is that the best way to explain it?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, I don't really get everything. I'm just along for the ride. You know, like, I get some of it. So the elf spirit is keeping his spirit alive, sort of, in limbo.
Yeah, Kellan Rumbor, his name, is the elf. So he's the guy that actually originally smithed the rings.
The Rings of Power.
The Rings of Power. So
yeah,
in the original, it was kind of the story on how the two were kind of joined together, and then them trying to sort of, well, move on into the afterlife. While in the sequel, has them with now their own Ring of Power, actually just trying to pretty much take down Sauron.
Yeah. That's the gist of the story and the setup, I guess. The game is, if you haven't played the first one, you should have checked it out. It was brilliant. It's kind of like an open world Arkham City Batman meets Assassin's Creed sort of thing.
With orcs.
In gameplay wise.
Lots of orcs.
With lots of orcs. And all that stuff plays very familiar. But then they have their nemesis system, which is what this series is famous for, I think.
Which is like a system where in the game you'll encounter these orcs. Some are captains, war chiefs, etc. With all kind of unique names.
So, yeah, and image. They all look different.
And they all look different. And they sort of, you meet them in combat and you might beat them in combat, but they might escape. And then later on in the game, you'll see them again. And then they'll refer to that first encounter. Or if they kill you, they get stronger. And then when you bump into them again, they go, I bested you last time. And this should be easy kind of thing. You know?
And it's all part of the, it's actually part of the gameplay mechanic, you dying, because you actually really do die and then come back to life each time when you respawn. You're actually respawning within the world. It's not one of those games where, like, oh, you died, try again. This is more like you die and then time actually passes and things happen. Different orcs get, you know, higher up in the hierarchy and get promoted. And then you come back and meet them again and they know that you died.
Yes.
I find that so interesting. Like, it's an actual thing.
In Shadow of War, the same system is in play, but it's even more expanded this time. So this time you actually assault several strongholds throughout Mordor, a field of like these war chiefs, etc. And then once you take them all down, you take over the stronghold, but then you've made your own orc army as well. So you can turn some of these orcs that you fight onto your side, and then you can put them into positions in the fort for yourself, and then you can send them on like mini quests to fight other orcs, etc., to level them up. And then eventually your forts will get attacked by like the computer or even other players. Online. With the online stuff with the other players, you can't really do. It's just something that happens, but you can set up your fort. So it defends, but you don't have to jump on every 10 minutes and be like, Bob's attacking your fort. It's like, go away, Bob. Leave me alone. There's none of that sort of thing.
It's very much like the Watch Dogs 2 multiplayer.
Mm.
In how, if you didn't want to, you don't have to interact, but it's just this cool extra thing where you can... Well, in Watch Dogs 2, you're hacking into their world, and this is obviously not sold as hacking, but it's similar. And you can jump into other players' worlds and avenge their death, and you can...
Yes.
You know, kill the orc that killed them, which I just find really interesting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, little icons pop up on the map, like vendetta missions are called. So let's say Carl's being killed. It will say, avenge Carl. So I can go in there, kill the orc that killed Carl. I get a reward for it, and so does Carl.
Yeah.
Everyone wins.
And I never have to see Callan or talk to him. He just jumps in and does that for me, and all of a sudden I just get this, like, you've earned this much money because Callan killed this guy that killed you.
Yeah.
Like, cool. Thanks. Callan's got my back.
The game controls just like the first one, and I feel like they've gone with pretty much the exact same control setup here, down to kind of getting stuck around things as you're trying to parkour over things.
Yeah, it's not quite as fluid. I mean, granted, we did just come straight off playing the new Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yeah, that's true.
Having said that, I didn't play it. I just watched Callan play that one. And I've only been playing Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which is 2 years old now. But even that felt so much more fluid.
Yep.
And, and smooth and natural climbing things. So jumping into this again, I do feel like they've stuck with the original engine, and it hasn't aged particularly well with all those other games, in the market now.
Another thing we're talking about, when the orcs come into battle, is that they talk to you.
Yeah.
Say a line. The frustrating thing is that all the action will stop, and I'll go into this mini cutscene of this orc walking in, and he'll say something to you. So you'll be in the middle of doing a combo, beating up people, but then this orc will come running in, and it'll just cut to that, and then it'll cut out of it, and then you have to pick up where you were, and it's really frustrating. I wish I could just skip all those little intros, because it's just breaking up the action.
Yeah, or at least turn them off in the menu after you've seen a few, because they are fun at first, and cool, I appreciate that. I'm going to turn this off now, because the combos, it's not just you whacking a bunch of dudes. They're actually really important, because depending on the number of hits you have in a row, you can do different power moves.
Yeah.
And there's also achievements for getting like 50 or 100 hits in a row. And imagine if you're on 85 hits and some guy's like, we meet again, you cut my arm off, look at this little nub you made.
Yep.
And then it goes back to you and someone hits you. Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not always fun.
Yeah, it gets just frustrating, especially when three or four come into the battle one after another.
Yeah.
It's like, just let me fight.
Having said that, though, talking about the fighting and the combos, and, I did say that the traversing hasn't aged well, but the fighting is still as fun as ever.
Oh, the fighting itself feels super slick. You move around so quick. It's easy to sort of dodge out of the way.
Yeah, jump over people, and doing the double hits where Celebrimbor jumps out of you and helps you for like 2 or 3 seconds.
Yep.
And he does cool things like when there's, these big beasts run at you and you can make a dodge where they jump over you, and the spirit of Celebrimbor carries the beast over your head like a rainbow while you're continuing to fight underneath him. There's some really cool things like that.
Oh, yeah. The new double jump looks pretty slick, and all the animations, etc., of your character, it looks great.
Yeah,
and the environments themselves, I know some people said, oh, they're a bit muddy and all that, but they are varied. Like, you got like a grassy environment, got like sort of like a city environment, a volcanic area, and then there was this other area which I really loved, a snowy area, which was really cool.
Nice.
So it's nice to have all those different little environmental regions. Like in the original game, I think there was 2 regions. And this is about 5 regions. They're not as big as the original 2, but it's nice to have that sort of split up of everything, I feel.
Yeah, it kind of needed that. And the map, going into the map, is very pretty too. I think it's the prettiest map I've seen since Skyrim's map.
Yeah, it's a really pretty region map.
Yeah, I love just like moving the camera around and looking at it like that.
The voice acting is great in this as well.
Like, yes, yep.
Bang on. And the music is so Lord of the Rings, it's not funny.
Yeah.
Even then, to like those of the, those orc sounds that they sort of mix through those industrial music scores that they had for in the movies.
Yeah.
At times.
That's true. That is awesome. Also, the leveling up. And learning new moves is very satisfying. It's done quite well. And like getting new gear, you can get outfits now and like capes, and they all do different things. And
yeah,
it's very satisfying. Like And like, I mean, there is the whole loot box issue.
The loot boxes. So there are boxes in this game where you can get new orc followers or new weapons, gear, etc., experience boost. They can be earned in game. There are a couple of different currencies in the game. There's the main currency, and then there's this other sort of sub currency which you can get from doing vendetta missions or daily challenges, or you can use real money to buy the boxes too.
Yeah. Now, that's all well and good, and you know, I'm sure a lot of you have already heard the big discussions about that, especially around this game, being an issue. However, while actually playing it, I found that I was able to afford quite a lot of loot boxes and getting decent things from each one every time. Yeah. And I'd play just a bit, do a couple of missions, and all of a sudden I can afford two more, and then I'd get like a great sword and a really cool cape, do a bit more, get a great bow and arrow and a really cool bit of armor. It drip feeds you enough. It's not quite as slow as it does in like Overwatch.
Yep.
You know, something like that.
Well, I'm a fair way through the game. I'm about 51% completion. I'm about level 38, 39.
Yeah.
The only time I bought boxes with real money was to just test out the system.
Yep.
I spent $10 and bought, I think, two boxes.
Nice.
And, you know, got some, like, legendary followers and things like that. But it didn't really change my game that much. It didn't really overpower me at that stage of the game. I could have just kept going as I was. Yeah. So what are your sort of final thoughts in the game, Carl?
There are some sort of aging things. Like, you know, there's still large empty areas, I find, and loading times are massive. But the actual gameplay still feels awesome. It's so easy to sit down, pick up the controller, and just, if you don't want to do the missions, do those, like, climb the ranks, killing the orcs. It's really fun to, like, cut one of their arms off, and then they come back with the healed arm with a spear shoved into it, and, you know, a new design. That's cool. Even shooting arrows feels awesome. It does feel like I'm back in the world of Lord of the Rings, you know, like, they really suck you in. Ah. I think I'm going to give this game a 7.3 carriages out of 10.
Okay. For me, I feel like it expanded on everything from the first game, the Nemesis system, the upgrades, the gear, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep,
that did. But I was then also let down that they didn't fix things from the original game I didn't like. Like the intros for the enemies, et cetera. Yep. And the loot box thing, I'm still not set on. I don't think any single player game should have paid loot boxes in there.
Yes, that's very true.
For power upgrades, any game shouldn't have that. Cosmetics only, please, from boxes like that, I'm okay with. Yep. But power upgrades, I don't really agree with.
Yep. Totally with
but
that.
But in saying that, you know, I'm a fair way through this game now, and I am enjoying it, and I'm going to see it through to the end, and I'm giving it an 8.4.
Nice.
And that was Shadow of War. And now onto our backtrack segment, where we look back at this week in gaming history.
What we're going to do right here is go back. Way back. Back into time.
Boom. All right. Backtrack, ladies and gentlemen, passengers. This week, I went back and looked at a certain little tidbit. On the 14th of October in 1977... Atari releases the Atari Video Computer System, the VCS, which they later renamed the Atari 2600.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That was my first console.
And the system came with two paddles and a copy of Combat, which, have you ever played Combat?
Wow. That was my first console, and I reckon I got that 1989.
Yep. Yep. I would have had that around then, sitting around And this is in the Solomon Islands.
Man, imagine getting a PlayStation 2 12 years after it came out.
Yeah, wow.
Like, two generations of consoles would have passed by then. But then back then, I guess things were different, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, firstly, we didn't exist. So that was different.
Yes.
Nothing really moved. There was the Nintendo at that time, but I was in the Solomon Islands, so it would be a long time till we even saw that thing. So
yep.
To us, it was the latest, greatest, awesome thing, even, you know, right up to 1990 almost. And
yep.
Oh man, it was awesome. And yeah, so it came with Combat. I love that name. I love, they had, do you remember like the Atari, they had games called Golf, yep. Fishing,
yep.
Boxing. So good. Imagine trying to name a game that now and trying to find it on Google.
Yeah, yep. That's awesome.
It's so cool.
Wow.
It's like the real, it was kind of like the Wild West of gaming where like no one's done anything before. So if you're going to make a game about basketball, then you just call it Basketball.
That's right. But, yeah, there's, you know, none of this like, you know, 2K17 and stuff exactly. like that.
And wasn't there like that one called Adventure?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. And you're like a dot and you're trying to get keys into these rooms. It was like really intricate for back in the day. And I think that was the game with the very first Easter egg in it as well.
Yep.
Where the developer like hid his name in there because some bad stuff happened. I don't know all the details. But anyway, there you go. 14th wow. of October, 1977. Atari 2600, The House of Frostbite, greatest game of all time.
Yep. All right, we'll keep moving. Otherwise, we'll be here for an hour hearing about how great Frostbite is and how it stacks up against Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. All right,
tears it apart.
We
okay,
are on to the question segment of our show where you, the listener, can write in and ask us anything you want about video games.
Or ourselves.
Or ourselves.
Go nuts. Send them to our... our Facebook is probably the easiest place yep. anywhere. Put it in a comment, send it as a private message. It's just facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast.
Yep.
But we'll find it. I mean, if you comment on one of our YouTube videos or on Twitter, where we're...
Yes, our Twitter name is @GameTrainTalk. Our email is GameTrainPodcast@Hotmail.com.
Yep, and even on Instagram @GameTrainPodcast.
Exactly. So there are so many ways for you to get in contact with us. Ask anything you want. So now, our question this week comes from Sean.
Ah, okay. He says, here's a question for next week's podcast. If you could each create your own game, what would be the one name? Example, Beard Simulator 3000. Genre/type, example, VR Simulator. And three, a short description of the game. Example, experience the joy of a big bushy beard, neatly trimmed goatee, tragic soul patch, and many more. That's
okay.
That is a great question with some great examples.
Awesome question. I had a little think about this, and I'll keep it really brief because a question like this, you could speak for an hour on a game.
Oh, you could base a whole podcast off it.
Exactly. All right. Hello, Bitstorm, if you're listening.
Hey, Bitstorm.
All right. So, mine is Grand Theft Auto Australia.
Oh, nice.
Right, so open world Grand Theft Auto game. This would be set in Sydney, and the tagline could be, go steal some Holdens.
Nice. Nice. I really like that.
Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, you know what? That is too big of a question for me right now. I'm very impressed with you, Callan. That's a good one. And I hear you were even talking about this earlier, and I hear you have another idea.
What is you know, like Hellblade, how like she sees all those weird things going on and shit.
Yeah.
It'd be like that. But imagine like a kid that grew up on the islands and never seen a city before, goes to the city for the first time. And he's exploring a city, but he's seeing things like cars as monsters and all this sort of stuff. So like you're seeing the experience through this kid. What he sees
like
these brand new things as.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. That was my other one, but I couldn't figure out how to explain it.
Sounds good to me. Man, look at that. Two ideas from Callan. I feel I let you guys down. I might come up with something next week and throw it at you guys, but yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, good. Thank you so much for your question, Sean. And remember, you can also send in any questions you want. We'll answer them on the show best we can. All right.
I will try to do a better job too.
All right. Wrapping up to the end of our show now. Always, we like to go and look at something we didn't like and something we have loved or coming up that we're going to love, hopefully.
Yep.
Which is our lame and hype train segments. So first up is the lame train. All right, so my lame train for this week, and I'm going to touch on it really quick because, again, you could speak for a long time on this, is the concept of loot boxes.
Yeah.
These things have been slowly creeping into gaming for years and years now. Starting off as just like cosmetics, and now they're getting into like the whole power gain thing. I'm just getting a bit annoyed with it. I'd rather developers just curb it all back, because you can see online gamers getting frustrated with this. There are people out there starting to boycott games that are bringing loot boxes in. It's just getting a bit too much. I'm just sick of it. Like, just bring back fancy hats or something. Everyone loves fancy hats. No one complains about fancy hats.
That is so true. Or just make us, like, win horse armor and not have to pay for that, you know?
Yep, exactly. How about yours, Carl?
Mine is very simple, very quick. And that is, I had no time for Destiny 2 this week.
True, I haven't played it in a bit either. And I've been wanting to play it again. Again, I haven't had much time either.
Yeah, I kept looking at it. I mean, you know, we went to EB Expo. And for those of you who missed it, we did a special episode last week about it, and we also did a few videos, more to come, and it was just hectic. Plus we've been playing Shadow of War and Golf Story, and I mean, I jumped in for maybe like half an hour and I'm like, I just don't have time to do anything, so I had to jump back out. But yeah, that's my lame train. That game is very fun. It's sort of jabbing away at me, asking me to play it.
Alright, nice. Alright, now we're heading across to the hype train.
Hype train. This week is, again, I'm talking about these expos. Like, we just went to EB Expo, and my hype train officially is expo hopping. I'm just stoked right now to be able to say that, you know, we're traveling around and flying to these different spots. Like, you know, Callan came over here. I'm going to Melbourne in 2 weeks to go to PAX Oz. And, you know, I'm just really excited. This whole podcast and doing what we love has really got me on my hype train this week. So I'm very stoked. I'm very grateful to be doing this.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Mine is to do with our feature game next week, which is going to be South Park, The Fractured Butthole. South Park are releasing a new episode tonight of their normal show. It's a prequel to the game.
Brilliant.
So I'm hyped to check out the episode to see how it leads into the game and how they sort of relate to each other.
That's so close. I haven't watched South Park in so long.
Neither have I, but I'm going to go watch this episode sometime before the game releases so I can, get a feel for it all and then go into the game from there.
Yeah, just to get hype.
Yep. All right. Thank you so much for listening again, tuning in.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Hanging out with us. We love it. We love your company here. Next week, as I said, we have South Park, The Fractured Butthole as our feature game. Plus, again, all our normal segments, our news, what we've been playing. We'll be looking at Earthbound and F-Zero.
Oh, okay. I didn't even think about what the next SNES Classic Mini ones.
And, of course, the Backtrack segment, your questions will be answered again. And as always, I like to finish off the show with a closing fact.
Yeah, all right. Let's hear it, Callan. Right.
So this one. The most famous cheat code for video games is up, up, down, down, left, right, BA. This was made popular by the original Contra.
Nice.
The original code gives the player a full set of power-ups. And the code in itself, because it's been used so much over many games, is called the Konami code or Gamer's code.
Yeah, I love that. I've seen people with that code as a tattoo, like around their arm, and I just think it's just the coolest thing.
That is awesome. All right, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you to all of you.
And as always, this has been Game Train.